This week's Parsha Mishpatim continues from the incredible event at Har Sinai. The Jewish people had received the Torah, they had listened to God's voice, and they had heard the Ten Commandments. But we know there are 613 mitzvot in the entire Torah. Well, this week we're going to learn 53. There are 23 positive and 30 negative commandments in this week's parasha. The Torah connects the parasha with the letter Vav. Vav, it looks like a hook, and it means and in Hebrew. Ve'eleh ha-mishpatim. The Jewish people had received certain commandments before, the Ten Commandments, at a place called Marah. And now, after the Ten Commandments, they would receive more commandments. And this is the Ve'eleh ha-mishpatim. What commandment would we expect to receive as soon as the Ten Commandments has finished? What are we going to learn about? The Torah delves into the Jewish slave. Now that's interesting. I would have thought maybe we'd learn more about Shabbat, about Kashrut, about kosher food, about Yom Kippur, the holiest day. But no, the Torah chooses to talk about the Jewish slave. What was the Jewish slave? If a person stole and didn't have enough money to pay back, they were sold as a slave. If a person needed the money, they could sell themselves as a slave. And how was a Jewish slave treated? Well, the Torah tells us that actually the slave was treated better than the master. A master that acquires a slave acquires a master for himself. How so? If a master only had one pillow, he'd have to give it to the slave. If a master needed something and there was only one thing in the house, the slave took precedence. In fact, if the slave was married, then the Torah relates that the slave becomes a slave in his master, and the master must pay upkeep for the slave's wife for the full duration of his slavery. The slave's service never exceeds 6 years from when he was sold, and if during his period of service a slave fell ill and his master incurred great expenses on his account, he nevertheless owes his master nothing when he leaves. The slave after 6 years can decide to remain in his master's possession. If so, he will be taken to a doorpost and a hole is bored into the right ear hole by his master, and he is told that he can stay until the yovel. Why was it bored into his right ear? Because the ear had heard at Har Sinai that God Almighty is our God. And maybe the servant decided, you know, it's very good. I like myself over here. I have comfort in my home. The master provides me food and everything. But he missed the point. The point is, eventually he has to go out into the world and he has to realize that God Almighty is the one that provides. And he's taken on a different master. He's put his confidence in a man rather than in God Almighty. That same ear that heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem that took you out of Egypt. I am your God, I am your master, has now given that up for a physical master, and therefore he's penalized in his right ear. Why are we learning about slaves now? You see, the Jewish people had been slaves for 210 years, and now, after the Ten Commandments, it was very appropriate to remind them about this, as they were about to go into the land of Israel. They needed to understand that there will be other people that will be subjugated to be slaves, but they should treat them nicely. When you yourself experience something, then you remember and you're much more amicable to that kind of situation. So at that moment when they experienced it and it was fresh in their minds what it meant to be a slave, God gave them the commandment. Remember, you guys were slaves and you didn't like it. When people mistreated you, also make sure not to mistreat your fellow Jew when he will be your slave. The Torah relates the punishment for murder and also unintentional murder. If a person murders someone by mistake, having no previous intentions of causing him harm, he had to flee to one of the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge. Moshe had difficulty understanding God's ways. And at one stage, Moshe requested from Hashem, reveal to me your ways of conducting the affairs in the world. And Hashem, according to the Midrash, took him to the top of the mountain, and Moshe saw a man in the valley below. He was stooping over a well to take a drink of water. As he was doing so, his wallet fell out of his pocket, and he left the well unaware that he had lost his wallet. A while later, Moshe observed another man approach the well. When he noticed the purse on the floor, he took it and left. Soon afterwards, the owner had realized that he left his purse by the well, and he went back. Who did he see over there? He saw a different stranger who had come to the well to drink. He suspected him of being a thief and shouted, "Return my purse to me." The other person, who was being falsely accused, responded truthfully, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any purse." The owner thought he was being deceived. He drew a knife and he killed this person out of anger. Moshe observed the scene on top of the hill and he asked Hashem, "Explain me your ways, Hashem. How can you allow an innocent man to be killed?" God revealed him the plan. In truth, the carrier of the wallet had stolen it from someone else. When he left it behind at the well, the true owner found it and took his property back. The third person who came to the well was a murderer. He had killed the father of the man who was looking for the wallet, which had been stolen. God said to Moshe, "I brought the two together at the well so that the son might avenge his murdered father's blood." Hashem showed Moshe a glimpse of absolute justice of his ways. Either way, the Torah tells us that if a person kills by mistake, they go to one of these Arei Miklat. If a person kills on purpose, they get the death penalty. The Torah relates the punishment for hitting or cursing parents. A boy above the age of 13 or a girl above the age of 12 who gives one of his parents a blow inflicting a wound which causes blood to appear is liable to capital punishment, provided obviously that the child was warned by two witnesses who observed the act. Deliberately wounding his parents is the height of ingratitude towards those who brought him into the world and did so much kindness. And therefore that is the punishment. When it comes to damages, the Torah relates there are different types of damages to be paid out. And it's incredible to understand the system that existed over 3,000 years ago. The following needs to be taken into account. Number one is nezek, causing physical injury. Number two is tsar, causing pain, the pain that the person experienced. Number three is ripui, which means the medical expenses. Number four is shevet, causing the absence of work. And number five is boshet, causing humiliation. All these need to be taken into account when somebody damages somebody else, and the bedin, the court, will take this into account when evaluating how much he needs to recompensate his victim. The Torah relates the din when it comes to a person that steals. A thief has to pay kefel. He has to return to the owner the item and an additional cash equivalent of its value. And if the stolen object is no longer retrievable, he must refund in cash double the value of the stolen item. But this only applies to a ganav. A ganav is somebody who acted stealthily. But if somebody steals in broad daylight, they are called a gazlan. And they only need to return the stolen item, but not the cash equivalent. The ganav is considered more culpable, for by acting secretly, really, he demonstrated that he fears only people, but not the all-seeing eye of the Almighty. The Torah relates, for a stolen ox or lamb, there is a larger refund. If a person steals an ox, slaughtered, and then sells it, he must return five oxen. If he steals a lamb, in the same way, the thief must pay four lamb. Why the difference? The sheep was able to produce wool, which was used for mitzvot, as was the cow, was able to plow, etc. and to enable a person to have the mitzvot of tithing, etc. More mitzvot could come out of a cow than of a sheep. And when a person steals a cow and gets rid of the cow or the sheep, then they are really damaging the person's mitzvot. Hence, they need to pay 5 and 4. Why do you need to pay 4 only for a sheep, whereas 5 for a cow? Because, well, our rabbis tell us we take into account the embarrassment of the thief. The thief had to carry the sheep on its back and therefore only pays 4 as opposed to the cow, which could be led. We're told not to afflict an orphan or a widow and not to curse a judge despite disagreeing with their decision. It's forbidden for a judge to listen to the arguments of one litigant if the other is absent. Both must be present at the same time. Again, it's incredible to see these laws given over 3,300 years ago. The Beit Din, the court, may not accept the testimony of an evil person. The final verdict is pronounced according to the majority of the vote of the judges. And in order to ensure that the votes should not be split into two equal fractions, the number of judges appointed to the court always had to be an odd one. A judge was not allowed to base his opinion on that of a greater judge or a majority of judges. And we are told, midvar sheker tirchak, to distance ourselves from lies. There are 4 kinds of capital punishment: skila, which represents stoning; serefa, which is burning; hereg, which is death by the sword; and chenek, strangulation. We are not allowed to mix meat and milk. In fact, the Torah repeats these words 3 times, that you shall not cook a kid in its mother's milk, to refer to the 3 different prohibitions. We're not allowed to cook them together, we're not allowed to derive any benefit from them together, and we're not allowed to eat them once they have been cooked together. The Torah relates how God told Moshe after the golden calf that he was sending his angel to lead the Jewish people, because he was worried that if he would lead, his presence would lead the Jewish people, then they would be destroyed if they would sin. Moshe prays, and eventually Hashem allows the angel not to lead them. Rather, God's presence led the Jewish people so long as Moshe was alive, and the angel led the Jewish people when it came to Yehoshua's time later on. At the end of Parshat Mishpatim, the Torah goes back and relates the events which actually took place during the days preceding Matan Torah, and the famous words that the Bnei Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. We will fulfill and obey all commandments of the Torah, although we have not yet even heard it, both the positive and the negative commandments. The Torah continues and tells us how Moshe went up the mountain to receive the Luchot, the actual tablets. Moshe gave instruction that in his absence, the people should obey Aharon, the elders, and Hur, who was Miriam's son. He told the Bnei Yisrael that he would be back in 40 days. He asked everybody to pray for him. He took his disciple Yehoshua with him on the 7th of Sivan and started to ascend the mountain. Yehoshua pitched his tent at the foot of the mountain and didn't leave the place for 40 days while he waited for his teacher to return. By a special miracle, the man fell for him there in order to sustain him. Moshe came up to Shemayim to receive the tablets, and he was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.